So questions about setting intention.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working on lately is doing less striving because I feel like so much of my internal life has to do with like setting intentions that I'm not like pushing myself. You know, like you're gonna do X for a workout and Y for work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my whole internal life is this kind of what Tara Brach calls selfing. You know, this like selfing that's all intention related. And so I've been trying to kind of step back from that and just allow space. How do you, so with this kind of intention setting, how do you not let it devolve into the kind of like selfing that I'm...
The heart won't let you do that. If you're sensitive to the heart, and we'll talk more about this, and what the most loving thing to do is, the more you have discernment and you understand, and this is how you begin to understand what the heart, where the heart is guiding you, is by setting intention. The heart will always show you what to do. So, you know, the way you described it to me is that's not very loving if you're overworking and overstriving, right? So, if you're really overworking and overstriving and you say, let me do this with loving kindness, it's not going to resonate in the heart. You know, it's like if you're robbing a bank and you say, let me rob this bank with loving kindness, it won't resonate in the heart. You know, so we're learning to be sensitive to the heart so that we know what is love and what is compassion, what is loving and compassionate action. You know? So the heart will show you exactly what you need to do, but you have to make that connection to the heart, and this is how you do it. So just to have, because again, you know, the intention, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that is great, but it's not skillful intention, you know? Skillful intention is, and again, you know, I'll talk more about this later, is, you know, making decisions about what you need to do that are in support of the heart, but you need to, you know that when you're connected to the heart. And then you set those intentions, and if they are skillful, they'll resonate in the heart. So, you know, a good example would be in support of like what you're saying. You know, somebody would, once I learned this skill, right? So people would ask me to teach meditation classes, right? And I would always say yes, 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 yes. And then I started to learn this skill. And somebody would ask me to teach a class, and I would look at, well, what's my, you know, and my inclination is yes, yes. And then I would look, well, what's the intention behind this? Oh, it's fear. I'm afraid of not taking the assignment. I'm afraid they're not going to like me if I don't do it. What would be the most loving thing? Well, the most loving thing would be to say no, because you know you're overcommitted right now. You know, so you learn, that's discernment. That's what we call heedfulness. You know, so once you learn to be able to establish what skillful intention is, and you learn to see what it's like when you're acting with skillful intention, then you pay attention to your actions. You pay attention to your actions. What is the most loving and compassionate thing for me to do? Is this action coming from the heart or not? Now, you need to have that connection to the heart. We're going to talk more about this today, but we've already talked about how you learn to establish that. You know? So, you know, I remember once teaching this and somebody saying, isn't it just a guessing game? No. The heart knows exactly what you need to do that's loving. Now, when you're developing the skill, you know, there may be areas where you're not really quite sure. So you're developing that sensitivity to the heart and what is an action that's coming out of love. That's why at the beginning it's important to have a teacher. So teachers can help you maybe guide you in terms of what skillful action is. So you do see what I'm saying? This is a good question, right? So you always want, whenever you're doing anything, to start to ask the question, what's the intention? All right, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, what's the intention behind it? You know, what's motivating me doing that? You know, to me, it sounds like some of the intentions behind what you're doing is, like you said, it's unskillful, it's overstriving. You know, what do you think that intention is in overstriving like that? Where's that coming from? Okay, so that's not a skillful intention. So you don't do that. You see how that works?
Yeah.
It's a great question, you know? So you learn to trust the heart and you act out of the heart. Now, I'm going to talk more about this again later, but when you act from love, it's the one thing about that is like when you're really connected to the heart, first of all, you sort of can't do anything else, you know? But when you're connected to heart, part of the quality of love is it's an antidote to fear, because a lot of times we're afraid to do the things that are the most loving, but if you're really connected, you're able to do it because the love supersedes the fear. I mean, it's hard to explain. When you start doing it, you'll start to see that you're able to do stuff that you could never do before because you're doing it from the heart. So that's exactly what you have to do when you start looking at your actions, you know, and the decisions that you're making about what you want to do, you know? My thing is, you know, it tends to always, you know, it's like, I learned that in meditation too. It's like, I got to make every sitting. I've got to, you know, where's that coming from? That's coming from an unskillful intention. That's coming from like wanting to be the best, or really what it's coming from is self-judgment, and you're not really very good, so you have, you know, it's like, that's not loving, you know? Yeah.
Use the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Just for the recording.
Okay. I'm Diana. When we're at the very beginning, when we're looking at the quality of our mind.
Right.
I'm trying to say this right.
How do you know what it is?
Is it a very is it a simple matter of saying, "Oh, what's here now? I'm feeling lousy, or my mind's all a jumble, and I'm noticing it."
Right.
Quickly, I'm not
right.
Dwelling on it.
Right. Right.
And then moving into my intention.
Right.
In the process, the jumbly mind or the feeling in that process has been set aside just by taking the new action of thinking, setting the intention.
Well, it's actually put aside by being mindful of what's in the mind.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah, yeah. It's very simple.
I just notice what is it, what blah, blah, blah,
right.
And then on with it.
It's a great question, too, and let's kind of talk about it a little bit just for the point of refinement. How do you know what's in the mind? How do you know what's in the mind? And I think you have a good sense of that, but just in general for everybody, how do you know what's in the mind? So you ask the question, what's the mind like? And again, what we're talking about here specifically is the, you know, what's the attitude in the mind around the meditation? Because how is the mind vis-a-vis the action that we're taking? Okay? So it's not like, I just had an argument with somebody and there's anger in the mind. It's what's the quality of the mind with regard to what I'm about to do? It's just what's your name?
Sarah
just talked about, you know, she is doing a million things. What's the quality in the mind about this? Like you said, oh, I want to conform, I want to be a good student, whatever. Okay, so there's some quality of judgment or desire, whatever. So if you're looking at the meditate, you're sitting down to meditate and you're looking at what the quality of the mind is, vis-a-vis the meditation, how do you know what it is? I mean, you want
to
take a step?
So it's not just about my state of mind.
Right.
In regard to anything, I'm miserable or I'm mad at somebody.
Right.
It's in regard to this meditation that
right.
I'm sitting down to do.
Right, exactly.
And it could be I might decide or I might see that because my mind's a jumble, that's keeping me from meditating.
Right.
And then I can go on from this. If I see that there's this misery.
Well, if the mind is a jumble, then there's probably aversion. You don't want to meditate because, like, who wants to sit here alone? I'd rather watch TV so I don't have to deal with the mind that's a jumble.
So it's seeing that and then...
But how do you know, let's say, because usually it's something like resistance or, you know, a lot of the times it's resistance or aversion to the meditation. Like for me, it's like, I don't want to meditate. You know, it's like, it may be subtle, but there's like a resistance there. How do you know what's in the mind when you sit down to meditate? How do you know what the attitude, it's really the attitude. How do you know what the attitude is? How do you know that? And that's a really important question.
I can want to meditate often and and know that I want to, but there are other things that are going on that might stay with me, or there's bad feelings in my chest for half of the meditation.
Okay, good. So
it seems like there are two things.
Because there's room for both. It's like, I want to meditate, but I really don't, right? So, but I
look forward to it, except there's distraction. Okay.
Right, but there still may be a quality in the mind. So I think what you're saying, and maybe I'm adding on a little bit to it, but usually by a felt sense in the body, right? You feel some dissonance, you feel some aversion in the body. I don't want to do this. It's usually not, I don't want to do this. It's usually some kind of a felt sense. So when you're really looking to see what's in the mind, look at the body, see what the body is like. Is there a dissonance? When you're looking at your actions, what's in the body? Oh, there's a dissonance. There's an aversion, or there's some unskillful quality. If there's just love, the body will have a smooth flow of energy and a sense of ease and well-being in it. So you're already starting to, this is discernment. What's a skillful intention? When this intention is unskillful and there's some kind of a resistance, there's some kind of a contraction or a dissonance in the body. When the intention is skillful, that brings the body into a state of ease. So is that clear, this idea of like being sensitive to the body in terms of understanding what's in the mind? Yeah. That's what everybody always says. That's what everybody always says. And the answer that, if you ask the Thai Ajahns that question, that's where I kind of learned the answer to the question, which is a perfect answer. Look at the Buddha. The Buddha spent 45 years teaching the Dharma. We're still talking about what he's doing. That's your strength. This is where you'll do the things that you always, that your heart is leading you to do. Now, there may be a lot of other things that you don't do that aren't so... But it actually is empowering and mobilizing and is what helps you move through your fear. So that's always what people are afraid of. That's why people operate out of the head. See, wanting to operate out of the head, this is what I should do, really comes out of fear and lack of trust in the heart. And the only way you develop that trust in the heart is through practice. That's why learning in the meditation is good. So it's like, my meditation got so much stronger once I learned to meditate with love. You could think, oh, I'm in a loving state. I'm not, I was driving myself with aversion and wanting to be the best. It's like, once I started meditating with love, the meditation got a lot stronger. If it's something that you love doing, you're going to do it. So it's actually, it's the question that everybody asks, and I know I remember asking that question myself. I was always afraid of that, but actually coming from the heart is really what's going to enable you to take action in your life. Yeah.
So when I examine my mind state.
Right.
Or today.
Right.
It was more about, I'm not capable of this, or this isn't going to work.
Good.
Or,
yeah.
And that's why I have the aversion.
Right. It's a form of self-judgment, self-doubt. Yeah, good. That's perfect. That's perfect because you're seeing it, It's
like, I don't like it. I was able, when you were helping us set the intention, it kind of drifted away.
Right.
So...
And then it might come back, so you have to watch. Yeah.
So you just keep a watch out.
Yeah.
For
so
it,
just going
it?
Back, what's your name?
Diana.
Right. So, like as we said, when you're mindful of something, right? So you're there's doubt. You create a little space instead of like I can't do this. It's there's doubt. So you create a little bit of space there. It's like in that space you put the intention. It's kind of like you put the intention. So like just being mindful of it creates a different relationship to it, which gives you some room from it. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the room where you can bring in a skillful intention. Now, again, it may come back. So you have to watch. You have to keep paying attention as you go throughout the meditation or as you go throughout anything else that you're doing. Is it coming back? But it's just being mindful of it and labeling it as good. Oh, there's doubt. There's my old friend, That's exactly what you need to do to get the intention into that space.
Now I get it.
Part, yeah.
The light bulb just.
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
I
Right. A good place to really, yeah, beautiful. A good place to really practice with it is like, you know, I would be like in the meditation. I was like, when is it going to be over? You know, and it was like, I figured, well, I'm just condemned to wanting it to be over. But if you see that, oh, there's wanting it to be over, you create, and then it dissipates, right? And then you can bring in the, and then might come back, but you start to understand how to train the mind, right? So it's really good to work with it in the middle of the meditation, right? And when, particularly when you're seeing, like, you know, wanting it to be over, or I don't like this, and just naming it and seeing it, you know, gives you that space, and then you can bring in the skillful intention.
So you can do it again and again and again. That's why you kept bringing us back to the intention.
Yeah. You pretty much have to do it again and again. I mean, you know, because the mind, you know, and you know, the people say, well, isn't that a lot of thinking in the meditation? You're either going to think about, you want to do this with love, or you're going to think about where you're going on vacation. You know, the mind is going to think, you're giving it good food. You know, you're giving it good food. I mean, you don't keep doing it. It's not like, it's not metta practice. May I be happy? But it's skillful intention. So the term the Buddha used, I'm going to keep going back to this today, this is really important, is touching in. You keep touching into the intention, right? So so that's the art of the meditation. You just touch in, doing this with love, doing this with love. So maybe it's every minute or so. You just touch in, you touch in, you touch in, you touch in. So it's a really important idea, this idea of touching in, touching in. Because even as you're sitting here right now, you know, you could touch in every once in a while. Let me be here with love. Let me be here with love. That concept of touching in is really important in terms of staying connected to the heart.